nation a stone. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. The tribes go, the precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation. The tribes go, the precious cornerstone, in their believing shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, and I'm going to be preaching about a very controversial subject, a subject that throughout history we read about much bloodshed and deep hatred, which the Bible calls enmity, has arisen because of this subject. And regardless of what the history books may say, I'm always aware of one fact, and that is the Bible is our final authority. Now, if you can keep that straight in your life, you will see that the Word of God is that which you can come and flee to and have full assurance that whatever God says is true. Now, folks, I'm not saying history books are not accurate. There are some history books that are not accurate at all. In fact, they're all blatant lies trying to cover up the truth. We see that today in the publication of much of what is coming out of the Middle East, of the Arab nations, much of what's coming out of there is a bunch of untruths that are covering up history. In fact, they're not only covering up history, but they are contradicting the very history of their forefathers. Now, I'm not here to try to downgrade or try to humiliate or try to maliciously attack Arab people. In fact, I love Arab people. And when I lived in Israel, some of the best friends I had were Palestinians. And I'm here to tell you that when it comes down to truth, the only reliable source that we really have is the Bible. And I believe that if you follow what the Bible has to say, it'll keep us out of trouble. Most of the trouble we see today in the world is a result of ignorance of the Bible. Now, folks, this program is designed to show our deep affection and love for the Jewish people. You say, why are we going to all this trouble and spending all this money and exercising our effort to communicate a deep abiding love for Israel. Well, if you look at the news media and listen to the news media today, it almost appears that with one voice, they're out against this nation. They have a biased observation against Israel, and they surely, it appears to me, have an agenda that is contrary to the well-being of the Jewish people. Now listen, I'm all for facts, but it's not right to be one-sided. And that's why we're presenting this program and this particular subject. Now, we have a lot of motivation. We're not only trying to speak out on behalf of the nation of Israel, but our motivation is to reach the Jewish people with the truth, God's Word, the Holy Scriptures. We want the Jewish people to realize that God is after them. I know the rest of the world's after them too, but God's after them for a good reason and for their well-being. God wants Israel to be saved. God wants Israel to know the truth about their Messiah. God wants Israel to know that there is more to life than simply fighting to defend themselves. God has a whole plan for the nation of Israel. And so, the subject I'm going to be presenting to you folks out there throughout the world, and these airwaves are going to be touching down in many countries throughout the world. And I want you to understand that we're not on this radio program in order to earn your favor or to necessarily have you like us. We're not here to get you mad at us either. We're simply doing our best to draw your attention to the authority of the Bible. When we say the Bible, we're talking about specifically the King James Bible. That's the Word of God, folks, for the English-speaking world. If you want a Bible that you can trust, believe in, and put your heart and your destiny into believing what the Bible says, the King James Bible is the Word of God. In fact, the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried, and they have been tried. They've been tried 7 times, beloved, and guess what? They've come out very pure. In fact, the psalmist said in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, or Tehillim in the Hebrew, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." I love the Word of God. And I believe if you love the Word of God, it's going to help you. If you hate the Word of God, it's going to become a thorn in your side. Now, this is a subject at hand. The subject at hand is, what does the Bible say regarding to whom does the land of Israel belong? And I first will attempt to show you from the Bible the answers to that question. To whom does the land of Israel belong? Does it belong to the Arabs? Does it belong to America? Does it belong to Russia? Does it belong to Iraq? I want to know, by the authority of the Word of God, to whom does the land of Israel belong? And if you'll stay with us, you'll learn from the Bible the answers to that question. Throughout the series of these messages, we will also consider not only what the Bible has to say, but what history has to say. Now, I believe you'll see that if you look at the proper history, it'll coincide with the Bible. But again, I don't care really so much what the history books say as much as what the Bible says. Now, first of all, what does the Bible say? Does the land of Israel belong to the Jews? Does it belong to the Palestinians? Why in the world are they fighting and killing themselves over this? Is it necessary? Are the Palestinians wasting their time? Are innocent people dying for no reason at all? Is there not a cause? I'd say to you folks, there is a cause. And I would to God that we would not only listen to the Bible, but we would obey the Bible. Now, the Bible tells us that God has promised this land, the land of milk and honey, the land that is known today as Israel. In some parts of the country, in the Arab countries especially, it is known as Palestine. And the Romans, obviously, as we know, came up with the phraseology Palestine. They did not like the Jews, and they wanted to do away with the memory of Israel, the land of milk and honey, the land of Canaan. They wanted to do with anything to do with the connection of Israel and the Jews. So therefore, they came up with this name, Palestine. What does the Bible say about it? Well, God first promised this land to the Jews. It's recorded in the Word of God in Genesis chapter 12, verses 6 to 9. The Bible says, "And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham, and said unto thy seed, will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south." So we see very clearly by the authority of the Bible that Jehovah God, the God of heaven and earth, promised the land of Canaan to Abraham, later on known as Abraham. He said once again, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." So not only was it promised to Abraham, but it was promised to his seed. And so, according to the Bible, God has promised that the seed of the Jews, the seed of Abraham, the Hebrews, the Israelites, the Jews, as they're known throughout the Bible, have the right to claim this land. They have the right to claim every inch of this land. And as far as the Bible's concerned, they have no right to give it up. You know, it's not really an issue with the Jews. It's not an issue with anybody. The issue, main issue here, is with God himself. God will not allow the Jews to give up that land. He forbids it. And he says that in the Word of God, that this land has been promised to Abraham and to his seed, his descendants, and nobody has the right to take it from them. Now, according to the Bible also, the Bible commands the Jews, remove not the ancient landmark. He set up the landmark to the Jews. Those landmarks were given so that they would know from one generation to the next where the border of the Jews, where they live, where the borders were, and so that there would be no argument, so that there'd be no controversy, so that there'd be no fighting over to whom does the land of Israel belong. The landmarks were set all throughout that land, folks. And so we're going to go into now that God gave the boundaries. According to Genesis chapter 15, we see very clearly what those landmarks, what those boundaries were. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, the Bible says, "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Canaanites and the Kenizzites and the Kenamites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites." And so he said that this land, I have given this land from the river of Egypt, which I believe very clearly is the Nile River, going all the way north to the river Euphrates. That gets right into Iraq. I guess that's the reason why the Iraqis are very nervous. Because, according to the Bible, much of Iraq belongs to Israel. Now, again, God did promise the Ishmaelites that they would have 12 nations. But they have no right, according to the Bible, to remove the ancient landmark that was promised exclusively to the Jewish people. I wish to God they'd get a hold of that truth. It would save them a lot of agony. They would earn the favor of God as far as blessing that country. It wouldn't give them salvation, eternal salvation, but it sure would remove a lot of the misery that they're receiving. In fact, every country that's ever gone against Israel in some form or fashion has only received the wrath of God upon them. God's not very well pleased when we deal unkindly toward the Jewish people. History bears that out very clearly. The Bible's our authority, and that's what we have to depend upon. Now, according to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 68, the Bible says, "The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb," referring to the Jews, of course, "saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you, and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land." See, God commanded them not only to not remove the ancient landmarks, but he told them to possess that land. "Possess the land," he says, "which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them." So there's no disputing about it. From the time of Abraham all the way to this present time and going on into the future, God has given this land from the river of Egypt all the way up there to the great river, the river Euphrates. That land belongs to the Jews. Now, for this portion of time, I must conclude, and I thank God for His Word. I thank God we can base everything upon what saith the Lord. Folks, if we would just get it straight, would have no problem about to whom does the land of Israel belong. It belongs without any question to the Jewish people. We'll continue this discussion and the preaching of the Word of God regarding the subject, to whom does the land of Israel belong. Continue to stay with us as we have more on this hour of the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Continue to listen as the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast continues in this hour, and the music that will stir our hearts and give us an appreciation of the Jewish people and our love for them. And we're going to have some news and analysis and commentary. And after that, towards the end of the program of this hour, we're going to have Bible reading and commentary. So enjoy yourselves and listen to this music that will stir your heart and bring your heart towards the things of God.
Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. In unity, to dwell in unity. La 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 la. In unity, to dwell in unity. La 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 la. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. peace within thy gates, joy within thy streets, Jerusalem, I bless you. Peace within thy gates, joy within thy streets, Jerusalem, I bless you. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, oh, city of God.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed for the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. For today, at this hour, we're going to have news, analysis, and commentary. And I get literature and news magazines and reports and many news items all from around the world. I bring those things through an analysis. even pray over these things. Amen. And I look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about this stuff. Amen. That's how we have to measure everything that we believe on what saith the Lord. I have a news article here that I receive. It's a good magazine to get if you want to have an update on what's going on in Israel. I don't agree with everything they say, but obviously you can't agree with what everybody says except what the Bible says. Amen. But for the most part, it's a pretty good magazine. It has a lot of news items in there. I guess some other magazines are real good. I get Israel Today. That's a very good magazine. It's put out by those who know really what's going on from a biblical point of view regarding Israel. But this Jerusalem Report is put out primarily by Jews and Israelis, many of them who live right there in the country. Now, for some of you that are just coming in to this program, I am a Hebrew Christian, that's right. I am a full-blooded Jew who has received Jesus Christ as my Messiah. And I've lived in Israel. I lived in Israel for 3 years, and there's a lot of things there in Israel that concerns me. A lot of things in Israel that brings a longing in my heart, and I love this country. I love the country of Israel. I love the Jewish people. And oh, I know there's some fanatics out there say that I'm a traitor because I believe in Jesus, and that's just a bunch of baloney, is what it is. Amen. I'm more of a Jew now than ever was before. I love the Jewish people more now than ever did before, and I love the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob now more than I ever did before. I don't know about you folks, but I read my Bible 3 times a day. How about you? You read your Bible 3 times a day? You say that you're a zealot Jew, and how many times do you read your Bible? How many times do you pray to God? I live from the Word of God. I breathe really from the Word of God, spiritually speaking. You know, I follow the Word of God. And but anyway, I'm just saying that to introduce myself to some of you that may not know me, but I've done studies for many, many years regarding Israel, to Jews, and what the Bible has to say about this good people. And they're only good in the eyes of God because God has raised them up to be a people to His name. But they're not good in the sense that they're not going to they don't have a ticket to heaven, because there's none that doeth good, no, not one. And they got to be saved and born again and redeemed by the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, like anybody else does. But anyway, I'm reading about a news article from the Jerusalem Report, dated July the 2nd, 2001. And this debate going on here about the Israeli flag. I guess it's the same old debate, even back here in the United States of America. There was a time in the United States that they're burning flags and stepping on flags. And I frankly think that's disgusting. It's wicked as hell is what it is. If these people in America don't like the United States flag, they ought to be shipped out of the country and sent somewhere else that they like. You know, you take a flag that represents the identity of the country and then do such a desecration of the flag, that's wicked. That's just wicked. That there's no respect for what this country represents. Again, this country, the United States of America, it has its problems. Every country has its problems. But this country was built upon the Word of God. And even though there's a departure from it, there are still God-fearing people in this country. And there were thousands of thousands and tens of thousands of Americans who died for the freedoms that we enjoy today. And Israel and the rest of the world better thank God for the freedoms that the United States has, because of the freedoms we have been able to bless the nation of Israel. Not only bless them, but we're blessing the Egyptians. We, as a government, United States of America, we pump in millions and millions and millions of dollars into the Egyptian economy, into Saudi Arabia, and some of the other countries that seek peace with Israel. We've helped them. That's right. I remember reading about the fact that we had forgiven millions upon millions of dollars of debt that the Egyptian government owed us. We forgave them of that debt. Now, come on now. If we're not good to Egypt, if we're not good to Saudi Arabia, if we're not good to many, many countries of the world, if you don't believe that we're good to them, you're nuts. You don't even know the truth. And yet they're rising up, cursing the USA, cursing us, and everything like that. That's absolutely insane. Oh, man, is that ever insane. Well, Israel today has a similar problem. There's a view from the liberal side of Israel that says, no, we shouldn't fly the Israeli flag. And there's the other side of Israel says, yes, we must fly the Israeli flag. And I'm going to read some excerpts. I'm going to read an excerpt from this report, and it introduces the subject as saying, as part of her larger program, introducing more Zionist history and Jewish heritage into the state curriculum, Education Minister Lamar Livnat recently issued a directive that all government-funded schools, including those of the Arab and ultra-Orthodox communities, must fly the Israeli flag. Livnat's actions are backed up by a flag-flying law passed back in July 1997, but apparently ignored until now. Those who choose to ignore the law run the risk of a one-year prison sentence. All right, so that's basically what the issue is about. The Israeli government finally realized in 1997 that in order to raise the awareness of what the country stands for, the history of the country, and loyalty to the country, and patriotism to the country, the flag represents all that, and now it's required, it should have been required a long time ago, but now it's required for any school that's funded by the Israeli government to fly an Israeli flag. I'm going to tell you something right now before I read some of this debate here that is reported here in the Jerusalem Report, and no doubt reported in some other magazines. I'm just going to tell you something right now, folks. The Israeli flag is a beautiful flag. It is blue and white. It has a Star of David right smack in the middle. In fact, when you look at that flag, it represents over 50 years of history of the modern state of Israel. I'm talking about people who have given their lives for the nation of Israel. In fact, this flag not only represents the over 50 years of the nation of Israel in existence, but it also represents the people of Israel as a whole. And we know that the blue speaks of heavenly things, speaks of heaven, speaks of God's people, the Jew, being a people unto the name of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Bible says they were to put this blue, and it was to be part of the color scheme of the fringes on the border of their garments, on the tassels. And therefore, we see the significance of blue. Blue has always historically represented Israel and represented that God from heaven has called a people out to his name. The Star of David is very significant. It has historical proportions, and the Star of David, we know, represents the Davidic throne, represents the fact that one day Israel will rule. In fact, there was a prophecy in the book of Numbers, the prophecy of Balaam, about the star. We even see the fulfillment of that in the New Testament, or the New Covenant, Brit Chadashah, in the first chapter, second chapter, verse 1, that this star was prophesied by Balaam, the star had come out of the east. Well, you must realize now, the only way to get into the tabernacle in the Old Testament was to go into the eastern gate. In fact, the Bible says that the Messiah is going to come, and he's going to land on the Mount of Olives one day. And when he lands on the Mount of Olives, he's going to split that mount in half. Hallelujah, there's going to be an earthquake. And he's going to come through the Eastern Gate. It's the only gate, by the way, the Golden Gate. It's the only gate today that is closed. It's been shut. It's the only gate of the 12 gates in the Old City Jerusalem been shut. And the rabbis believe, as well as indicated even by the scriptures, Holy Scriptures, that the Messiah is going to come and open that gate. Amazing. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the door. That's what he said. I'm the door. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. All right. Anyway, let's get back here to the item of the controversy over the Israeli flag. By the way, the Star of David represents God's relationship to man. It's made out of two triangles and interwoven together. The rabbis have always believed that this represented God's relationship to man. After all, we are created in God's image. God is tripart. He is three in one, even in the Zohar. The mystic, Kabbalistic rabbis believe that in their interpretation of Deuteronomy chapter 6 in the Shema. And it makes sense, doesn't it? God created us in his image. We are body, soul, and spirit. Can't deny that. We are three in one. Now, there's only one of me, and thank God there's only one of me, and there's only one of you. You're made out of three parts. Amen? Well, God is made out of three parts. That's exactly right. And, I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of stuff on that right now. But the significance there in the Star of David is one triangle representing God. He's three in one. We only believe in one God, you know. And man, who is also three in one, and this relationship. One time I will preach about that on this program, the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Well, what about it? Should the schools there fly the flag? Should all the government buildings have flags on them of Israel? Yes, I believe they should. Yes, I should. Now, I'm going to quote from this MK. He's a minister in Knesset. His name is Eleazar Sandberg. And I'm going to quote what he said here in the Jerusalem Report. And I'm not going to even quote from the other individual because he mentions, and actually he's answering her. He's answering this other MK and not Maor, and forgive me if I do not pronounce the names properly. I am an American. I am a Yankee. I am a Jew, but I'm a Yankee Jew, and I mean I have it all right. But I do the best I can. All right. And this is what Eleazar Sandberg says. He says in answer to Annette Maor, he says every healthy nation raises and honors its flag. The flag is a symbol of the country. I don't agree that forcing people to fly the flag will lead to hatred of it. We force citizens to serve in the army, and that's a lot more difficult than having them study in a school building with a flag on its roof. Amen to that. I agree with them on that. And nevertheless, military service is considered an honor. It's among those who don't have to serve, like the Arabs, for instance, that there's hatred of the army. Your main error is in your persistence on consideration for the feelings of the Arab minority. Consideration is one thing, but self-abnegation is another. Who must understand that we're talking about the flag of our country. You must understand that we're talking about the flag of our country. Yeah, that's right. Of all its citizens, Arabs and Jews, it is not a matter of choice. The flag of the country belongs to everyone. Whatever they may think of the government, this value must be internalized by the minorities. Your approach encourages cessationism. In the United States, they've understood this for a long time. There, the requirement to fly the flag applies not only to the educational system. Everyone there identifies with the flag, rich and poor, black and white, even if they have ethnic and economic divisions. I would like to see a similar attitude in Israel. Whoever is educated, to respect the flag will ultimately also respect his country. You, of all people, should be aware of this, for we all remember the photograph of you wrapped in the PLO flag. And this is Eliezer Sandberg. And he said this, and I agree with him there. He continued on to debate with this lady, and he said, there are indeed many important things that we need to fix. There are economic, social, and security problems. One of those important things that I think we need to do is to shore up confidence in the justice of our cause. Many people cannot answer the question, why are we here? Or what would happen if the state ceased to exist? Things that looked clear to the generation of 1948, those who established the state, are not necessarily clear to the young generation. I agree with him. I really agree with him, what he's saying. I've done a lot of study on the history of Israel, and I agree with him. All right, values must be renewed for those born into the reality in which the state is taken for granted. We live in a society in which pluralistic differences are valued. Well, I don't agree with that, amen, because I believe that the people in Israel ought to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is the main problem they have in Israel. You're not going to have a pluralistic society and get the favor of God. Oh, that's not going to work that way. But I understand what he's trying to say. If you're going to have all these different people that believe in this and that, and they all want to coexist together, well, they're going to have to all agree on something. And that, at least the flag, they ought to agree on that. But according to the Bible now, folks, according to the Bible, there's only one way. And the Word of God, the Bible, is the way that we need to follow. And that's exactly right. There's no such thing as you can have your religion, I can have my religion. Oh, no. According to the Word of God, there's only one way. And, I'm pretty dogmatic about that. I agree with you on that. But I just want to say that because I don't concur with him on that. But I know where he's coming from. And I appreciate where he's coming from. All right. All right. But anyway, so he says, we must remember and remind others of our common denominator. And that's really the emphasis of what he's trying to say. The common denominator is Zionism. That's exactly right. The flag symbolizes Zionism and democracy. I am not worried by the use of this symbol and the idea that we must respect it. I believe that we can inculcate this respect in a concerted educational effort. I will end with a story. In my youth, I was a guest in the home of a young American Jew, a true Zionist. He had a huge American flag. One time I picked it up and without paying attention, put it on the floor. "Pick it up," he said right away. "This is the flag of my country, and you have to show it respect." He was right. That's the result of an education every Israeli should also receive.
Keep this covenant and show it mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by freewill offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your freewill donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast.